Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teach Me, Teacher, a podcast for educators, where we, the teachers, become students ourselves. I'm your host, Jacob Chastain, and today I'm sitting with Ashley Estes, and we're going to talk about how to steal things from all of the resources to make it your own and create awesome classroom experiences for your students. All right, guys, I am here with Ashley. How are we doing today?
Fine. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on because, just for the listeners, the way we kind of came into contact was a mutual colleague, you know, one of my greatest friends of all time slash mentor, life mentors, whether she wants to be or not, Stacey Hammer, who's been on the podcast. She, you know, messaged me and was like, hey, we have this teacher in Aledo ISD who does these room transformations and you might want to talk to her. And then you were so gracious to offer your presence on the podcast. So thank you.
Sure. I'm happy to be here.
So before we get into transformations and getting ideas from other people and whatnot, I just want you to tell us a little bit about you, what your role is and what you currently teach.
Sure. I'm in my 11th year teaching. And I started out in White Settlement ISD, and this is my first year in Aledo ISD. And I'm teaching fourth grade science, so I get to teach science all day, every day, yay, which is pretty fun.
That's awesome. So have you always taught science?
In some aspect, yes. I started out teaching a self-contained classroom, and so I taught everything. And then I went and taught only fifth grade science, and that was lovely, but not much the fifth grade part. And so got to go back to elementary, and then kind of focus in on math and science from there. And so this year, our campus went fully departmentalized. And so I'm teaching just science.
Does it help you to stretch it out or does it make it feel too stretched out?
I think for me in science, it's easier for me when I'm planning, cause I can focus on just one content and it's not splitting my concentration or trying to split my time. But for science, I have lots of time, which is great. And so I'm not complaining about that, but I always look at, you know, my reading counterparts and math counterparts, and they're squeezing everything in that time that we have. That's all the same for each class period. So for me, it's great. For the other teachers, I don't know if it's as great. But so it's nice because I get a lot of time for science experiments. And then sometimes if I have lots of extra time, I can kind of help and supplement and with the math a little bit for kids coming in who are still struggling on certain concepts.
Yeah, the experiment thing is, you know, the coolest part about science. It's also like the hardest part because you guys have to, you know, it's not like you can just shut the experiment down. Yes. You know, right. You know, there's like a process. And then in middle school and high school, you know, they have to be able to transition to the other classes. So the one thing I've always heard from science teachers is like, you know, like how do we squeeze in this cool thing without, you know, destroying everything in the process?
Exactly. Yeah. You can't start and stop once you get started. So for me, what we're doing in fourth grade at that level, it works with the amount of time we have. So I'm very thankful that I have that time and I'm not trying to squeeze it. Cause a lot of times, it is kind of one of those things that it's has a little bit less time than other subjects. And so you're rushing to get things in. So I don't seem to have that problem this year, which is nice.
Yeah, no, I get it. We, this year was the first year I used to just teach reading, because they actually divided up reading and writing in Birdville. And this year I get to do both. So I have all pre-AP, so I get my reading kids in the morning and then I see them again in the afternoon. So it's just a continuation basically in a lot of ways. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like literally the best. Room transformations. This is a huge concept.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yes, I did the first time I was, you know, I've seen teachers do room transformations over the years. But I really, you know, we went to the Ron Clark Academy over summer and they showed us, you know, Kim Bearden, you know, obviously showed us what she did and, Hope King, you know, showed us some of the stuff she did. And I was like, oh, this is like, you know, it was just like, why am I not doing this? This is so obvious that teachers need to be doing stuff like this. So this year, You know, I did my huge cave thing. If anyone listens, you know, is on the podcast or is on Facebook, they've seen that video. It was a super cool experience, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, how many of these have you done before in the course of your 12 years?
I've always done some sort of costume type thing in class. That's never been something I've shied away from. But just recently in the past couple of years have I really started looking to hold not just, you know, what I'm wearing, but the whole transformation of the costume. And so I've done a like a breakout room where it's kind of like a crime scene. That was one. And then for multiplication, I've done like a CSI blackout, black light room thing. That was not my idea. It was my sister's. I totally stole from her. And so I've been doing that for several years. And then last year was the first year our campus sent some people to the Ron Clark Academy. And so I didn't get to go, but one of my friends got to go. And so I came back and just drilled her with 1,000 questions and kind of went from there. And so we started figuring out, okay, how can we incorporate some of that into our classrooms, and went from there. So, and I did a couple this year. I did a pirate themed one, which was really minor in the grand scheme of what I just did. And then at Halloween, just kind of randomly threw it together at the last minute, like a Fear Factor Halloween type, stole from other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then recently it was the big Mario Kart one.
Yeah. Which is totally awesome. I gotta earmark that because I'm curious. We have a lot of teachers. Well, we don't have a lot, but we have a few teachers at Richland Middle School who are doing a lot of breakouts right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of like the lesson this year is like they're doing, you know, they did a crime scene one, and they're doing a lot of really interesting things. What is your experience with doing a breakout to doing a classroom transformation? What are like the big differences from the teaching perspective?
Well, we used it last year as a review right before STAR. And mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much like a teaching moment as much as review concepts and skills. But what I absolutely loved about it is every student was engaged the entire time. And I kind of got to be a little hands off and just watch them problem solve, which I feel like a lot of times nowadays we don't let the kids do enough. We're so quick to help. And I think that getting to watch them grapple with some of the problems and the puzzles and even the locks, it was really neat to see their creativity and how they work together, I guess, to work on that. But it was a lot of fun. I tried to do one right before Thanksgiving, but I just couldn't get my act together and wrap my head around it. So we didn't get to it this time, but there will definitely be more coming soon.
These lessons they're super engaging. And there's like varying levels of how intense they are to plan. Mm-hmm. Like the Mario Kart one and then my cave, I feel like are kind of the big versions. And then you have these smaller versions. And that's one of the things I want us to discuss on here is like for teachers who, you know, it's really easy to look at all the cool stuff you do, especially if you go to like the source, like Kim Bearden or Hope Keying and stuff. And you're like, okay, I'm never going to be able to pull that up or something like that. It's really easy to like lose any type of determination when you look at the best. But you, like your Mario Kart one is awesome. I mean, you can totally tell like the inspiration is from there. You know, if you compare the pictures side by side, and I'll have those on the website for people to look at. But when you were looking at that, like, was it too daunting for you, or what made you, like, how did you decide what to use for your Mario Kart and what not to use?
Well, when I first saw them, like I follow them all on Instagram and, you know, stalk all the RCA people. But so I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so fun. And it looks like fairly doable. And I, you know, growing up on Mario Kart and Super Mario, was like, I love this. And so no kids do still. And so, I mean, partly I hate to say it was a little bit not about me, but I got to enjoy it as well. Mm-hmm. So I just looked at what they had done. And that was one that Hope King had actually done a really detailed blog post on. And so then I looked at my timeline and budget and things like that, lessons. And it's like, okay, what's realistic for me to actually accomplish in this? And it was one I kind of decided to go big or go home. So I did my best to tackle it. And like, I don't feel like I did a lot as far as coming up with new pieces to it. I just looked at what they had done. I was like, I could totally do this instead of this piece or use this for this. and just did my best to copy because I thought it was so great. And I loved the idea of it and wanted to give it a go in the class.
Yeah. So what was the lesson that was a part of this? It wasn't review, or was it?
Sort of, but not really. We were just starting circuits, and that's one of my favorite things to teach in fourth grade. It's something completely new because I feel like for science in the elementary, it's so not repetitive, but like they build each year on so many of the same concepts. But circuits is completely new. And so it's a lot of fun to teach. It's one of my favorite things. And so they hadn't seen anything with it. It was the very first day. I had to answer a review of vocabulary that we had been learning. So that part was review. But whenever they answered a question correctly, they rode their little scooters down the roadway to get a piece from their mystery box that was part of their circuit. And so some of them have had prior experience with circuits just from snap circuit kits, I think is what they told me, or in the library, apparently there were some. And so they kind of had an idea, but some of them were just like, we have all these parts and we don't know what to do with them. And so they just started clipping things away and just trying to figure it out. So that was a lot of fun. Some were like, can we get a computer and Google this? I was like, use your resources, do whatever you need to do. And so the circuits was really the main goal, but we got some vocabulary review in the process.
That's awesome. So when you were like designing stuff, like the big thing that always comes up, and Hope, you know, when she was giving her speech at RCA, she talked about how everyone always brings up money. Right. And it's like, oh, you know, how much am I going to spend on this? You know, what's this? Like, what did you spend a lot on this, or what was the process of getting the materials to create your Mario Kart room?
I mean, I will always ask people if they'll donate, or a lot of times I say no, and that's okay. But, or if there's discounts for teachers and things like that. That's always my go-to. Like, it's sometimes awkward, but I would rather be awkward and weird about it and get something for free donated than have to pay for it. But the biggest expense was I decided kind of last minute that like I really wanted to do the turf. I thought, man, if I have the turf, it really sells the whole look. And so yeah. I looked online on Amazon, Home Depot, Lowe's, went through the whole spiel about finding the best price and thinking, okay, how am I going to get this huge piece? Because if you buy it at Lowe's or Home Depot, it's like this huge roll. I don't have a very big car, so how am I going to get this to and from school? And just, you know, the logistics of it. And so I ended up finding like there were outdoor rugs, I guess is what it was. And so that was the biggest expense. And I decided that was an investment because I can use it for different things. Like I already started thinking, okay, I've got the turf. I can totally do a football something. I don't know what yet, near the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And pieces like that, that you can reuse, I think are going to be a huge part of, you know, building a little collection of classroom transformation supplies. There are something like I used a lot of those plastic tablecloths, which I should probably just roll back up and use again, but it's not worth it. So I just tossed those. So I just kind of started hunting around town and looking to see what I can find and collecting when I could.
One, that Super Bowl idea, I'm taking that. So I got to do something with that. That's how teachers work right there. You just get a little nugget and you steal it. No, like when I was planning my room transformation, like the way I went about it was I was like, okay, I know I want to do something, you know, and it's a good start. And then I was like, okay, what is the most obnoxious room transformation I could do that's most simple? Like that was my goal. I wanted to do something that was huge, but didn't destroy everything. And I came up, I was like, I just want to make a cave, man, because we can just design most of it and then we can shut off the lights and it's all cave-like and with tons of paper and duct tape, you know, you have a cave. Exactly. And it really wasn't that, like, it didn't cost that much. Well, it kind of cost me more than what it was because I kind of had to figure it out as I was going. But, you know, if you ignore the mess ups.
Exactly.
It was fairly smooth. So, like, when you... Like, I didn't really run into too many problems doing that. Did you run into some problems putting your stuff together in your room?
Not really, other than fire code is a very real thing out in Aledo. And there are some pretty strict limitations. And so, like, we can't hang anything from our ceilings. And, you know, only a certain percentage of our walls are supposed to be covered. And so we can't cover our doors. But I didn't want the kids to to get to see, especially because we transitioned four times and they walk by my room. And so I didn't want them to see inside until they crawled through the tunnel to get in. And so that was kind of I had to figure out a workaround and some things that I would have really loved to do, but I kind of had to come up with some alternatives. And then also like just hanging stuff up, like when you're working with big pieces, whether it be tarps or tablecloths or whatever else you might use. I mean, that's kind of hard on by yourself because lovely people tried to offer to help me, but like I'm kind of a control freak. And so, so I didn't want to, have anybody have to be bossed around. And so, so doing the big pieces can be slightly challenging on your own. So find a friend who's willing to let you boss them around a little bit.
That's so funny. No, the fire code point. Yes. So this, the cave video that I made, because I documented, going through the process and stuff. And the only criticism I got on any of it was people talking about fire codes. And I'm like, shut up. Like, God, it's like, I didn't leave it up for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It's not like, there was, cause I had them crawl through like a makeshift tunnel too into the room. There was a table. I was like, I can move the table. Like, we're not going to die. And it was just like those moments where there's always naysayers when you want to do like big stuff. And it's just, and that's why like, it's almost better just stay in your bubble. And it sucks that you have to operate like that. But, it's like, we're not rich people. Like, we're just human beings trying to create an experience. And people are like, fire code. It's like, come on. It's like, obviously, I'm not trying to kill the kids. Let's be smart about
it. And that was everything I was like, kind of maybe iffy on. It's like, I can rip that down real fast if need be. Like, if there were a situation and I had to pull that down real quick, we could do it. And, of course, every day I've done a classroom transformation this year, we have had a fire drill. So that's been lovely. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how that's happening, but they've definitely scheduled those perfectly for me.
That's hilarious. So walk us through this experience for the room transformation, just so we can picture it in our heads a little bit. They walk or they come through the tunnel in the front room or in the front of your door.
Yes.
What happens after they enter?
Okay. Well, I just have to stop and say like the tunnel was such a last minute, like, I wanted to do it, but I tried to find some friends who have kids with, little tunnels, but they're like, oh, mine's blue or mine's multicolored. Or I found some on Amazon, but they weren't really what I want. And all of a sudden I went back to Hope King's blog about it. And she had said she got it at IKEA. So Sunday night I'm driving over to IKEA, which is not close to where I am. Cause I'm like, I'm going to get this tunnel. It's going to have to happen. They have to crawl through the tunnel. And I'm so glad I did. It totally made the whole thing. So they crawl through the tunnel. And on my Promethean board, I had like a Mario logo and then the Mario music playing all day long, which drove me insane, but it was totally worth it. And so they walked in and their desks had been all moved to the sides of the room. And there was the road down the middle of the room with the turf carpet on the sides. And then the walls covered in all blue with little decals, which I was too cheap to buy. On Amazon. And so I just printed some out at Kinko's, which is probably about the same price now that I think about it, and cut them out myself. And so those are all over the room. And so they walked into and I was on the outside of the hallway still helping kids get through the tunnel because you have to kind of hold it down for them.
Yeah.
I just could hear them going, what's going on? Oh my gosh, from the hallway. And so that was really fun to like not get to see their faces, which was unfortunate, but to get to hear their excitement through, the tablecloth blocking the door was a lot of fun.
We kind of did that too. The tunnel thing is such a great idea because it's it's like a transfer, not a transformation. It's like a doorway into another world almost.
Exactly.
And that's really the idea behind a room transformation is to completely erase the school from like stuff. And that's what like, there just needs to be more of that because, being a kid, you're going to room, depending on what grade you teach, but you're in these like under fluorescent lighting all day. And, depending on how old your school is, cinder block walls. And it's like, maybe we could, one day just make it something awesome.
Yeah. And that's really, I think, what it comes down to is like for me, like I was kind of like stupidly getting excited about it. And I just kept thinking, if I'm this excited about it, like surely the kids are just going to go nuts over this. And so I think if it's something I'm going to enjoy for sure, the 9-year-olds are going to enjoy. At least I would hope. Sometimes yeah. I guess I'm not as cool as I think I am.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what RCA did for me in a lot of ways, because, you know, I haven't been teaching long enough to like be jaded by the experience at all. Like, you know, tons of teachers are, which is, you know, that's their thing. But, you know, when I went to RCA, it was, you know, not being jaded already, and then them just like opening doors for like what education can be, what teaching could be. And it was, you know, the thing I kept on thinking of is like so many people complain about the job, but they don't, like, you're in control of your room. If you hate your life in your room, you're the one to blame. Like, yes. So like, why not do these awesome things? Yeah, they're tons of work and you're probably going to be a little stressed out, put it all together. But like the end product and the experience that you get to have with your kids is going to be this huge thing.
Yeah. The payoff is huge.
Yeah. So, okay. So they get in your room, mm-hmm. you crawl in after them, presumably.
Oh gosh, no. I was not willing to crawl through there. One, just because as they would crawl through, you could like hear their poor little knees pounding on the tile. And I was just like, I'm far too old for that. So I just stepped into the room.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I wore jeans on mine. I just kind of like slid myself in, but, I had a few administrators not crawl through. They came to look, but they had to go through the other way.
Yeah, our counselor came through and like she went through the tunnel. She was the only adult that was brave enough to do it.
That's hilarious. So they get in, you get in. Mm-hmm. Where, like, what were some of the logistics? Like, I had a table area for them to put all their stuff. Do they come to your class with a bunch of stuff or?
Yeah, they do. And so they have like, they have a certain desk they sit at with a number in it on it, and so they just put their stuff on their desk and sat at their desk. So the chairs were all still at their seats around the room, and so it is hard to rein them in when they first get in, and there's a lot going on. It's different, but luckily we have set expectations and procedures, and our classroom culture is what it is, and so they can rein it in pretty quickly. And so I got in, they sat in their seats. And so we started talking about what was going to happen that day. And, you know, you mentioned that you're going to be working in groups. And what I love is these kids start making eyes at each other, like, oh, I'm going to be partners with you and you and you. And so I just let them have that fun for about 5 minutes, thinking that that's how easy this was going to be, before I threw in a little twist, because I always like to do that. And so they had to get a little hat from the characters. And it's like a Mario hat glued to a sentence strip, because I'm a teacher and so I can't afford Mario hats for everyone. And nice. So there were 6 different characters they could choose from. And so they thought, oh yeah, I'm going to get, all my friends are going to get the Mario hats and we're going to be the Mario team and we're going to be the Princess Peach team. And they were super pumped about life because they got to be with their buddies. And then I told them that their groups actually had to consist of one of each character. And so then they had to get in their groups, and there were 3 different groups. And so they had like about a minute to find one person with each different hat on to get in a group and then get in one of the designated seating areas for their game time.
And okay. So they get to their area with their group. How did instructions go with each thing? Were they written out? Did you explain each one?
No, it was pretty, pretty simple. It was just, I explained the directions as far as they were going to, their cards that had their vocabulary definitions were next to their mystery box at the end of the room. I have like this 2 bookshelves that make up my library, and there's a random piece of wood across the top. Cause I needed more space. And so I just moved that, took the books off that and scooted it to the front of the bookshelves. And so their mystery boxes were sitting on that, and their pile of, task cards essentially were sitting next to that. And so I just told them, you know, you're this color, this color, this color, and you're going to ride your little scooter down the road, get your task card, come back, answer it. And they had to ride it on the dry erase board and scoot on back to me. And I was standing towards the front. And then if they got it correct, they could get another card and get a piece from their mystery box. And it's funny because they would get their piece from their box because they were so excited, and they forget to get another card. And so then they just try and run up and get one. I was like, no, go back and get on your little scooter. Got to play the game. And so it was a lot of fun to see them getting really into it and excited. So it didn't take a long time really to explain directions, just because it was fairly simple and they had done task card activities before.
Yeah, I think that's almost the secret to room transformations, in the sense, like, if you're trying to do it under a time crunch, because I had, you know, I have three main classes and then they see me again. But, you know, our class periods where I'm at is only like 50 something minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to get in, get instructions. You need to look around and we got to get going. Yeah. So it was like the way I kind of managed that was, you know, all the skills that they were doing are something that they've seen before, relatively. Mm-hmm. But it was all connected to a letter. There's a dead guy in the center. And he had a letter that he left, and each area in the cave were the clues that he was setting up to try to figure out the puzzle. So that was the story about why there were stations. And then each one, he was like, he kind of explained in his voice what to do. So if they're at station one, they read that and they can figure out what to do. Yeah. And it was, I didn't have any explanation at all. We walked in, I told them, you know, their groups that they were working with were their table groups normally. So I was like, you're with your table groups. Y'all have a flashlight. Here's your letter. Go. Right. And I initially split them up, and then I just let them go to stations basically when they were done. Yes. And you know, all I was doing was facilitating and making sure, you know, no kid acted a fool in the darkness. But they were, you know, they were surprisingly in control, you know, because it is that class management point that you made, which is, you know, I doubt you can pull off a really cool transformation if your class culture and like management aren't the best.
Yeah. That's not on point. It's not something I would be jumping to do.
Yeah. This is a little bit later. Once you have that control of the class, like me 4 years ago, what I would have, the school probably would have burned down if I would have done this.
Yeah. Try and avoid that.
Yeah. Cool. So that's definitely the biggest thing. But, you know, it was me just kind of sitting around watching and guiding. Was that kind of what it was for you too?
Yeah. I mean, and I, since it was the first time with circuits, and obviously there's some safety concerns with that, but I didn't want to give away too much because I was afraid if I explained too much of like what not to do, you know, so you don't electrocute yourself. Not that with a battery, that's really that big of an issue, but I didn't want to give away too much safety concerns because I felt like I would have to explain, like, you know, when you connect this to this. And I didn't want to give them any kind of hints. And so I told them that I would just be walking around monitoring. If I saw anything, I would just let you know, you're not in trouble. Just give you a little heads up warning. You know, you don't want to do that kind of thing. And so really it was great because they were coming to me to give their answers. So I was not just like wandering around completely. Like I needed to kind of be where they were coming, but at the same time, they weren't coming super fast. And are all at the same time. And so I was able to kind of wander around to each group. And my classroom is tiny. So it's not like it's hard to get to each group. You know, it's like one step group because it's so small. So, I was able to kind of just facilitate and monitor as they went.
Was there an end goal, like an end prize for a group that got to the end, or?
They always ask that, like, what do we win? I was like, you win the satisfaction of knowing you were first. Yeah. Now, I had a little Mario flag that the first group who got their circuit complete and lit the light bulb got to go raise the flag. And so that became quite the motivator. I don't, like, it was literally just, you know, foam paper attached to a string on a pole. So it was funny to me that that was so fascinating to them and was such a big motivator. But they definitely wanted to win. And so they were totally okay with that being the prize this time. But yeah, anytime we do something like that, they're like, well, what do we win? It's like a high five, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's always, yeah, well, it's that goal oriented thing. You know, it's the same reason our students sit in the classroom and go, you know, why am I reading this? Why am I doing this? You know, it's long, like, even if the goal is the flag, right? Or whatever, like it's something to kind of give them, like mine. You know, that was probably the weakest point of mine because I didn't know how fast they would get through everything. I was unsure because the end, what they got at the end of each session were several words. Some of them were clues. Some of them weren't. They had to figure out which clues matched it. And then they would find the treasure, which was in the school library. So they put that together and I was like, I don't know how obtuse this is. I don't, you know, and some of the stations were harder than others on purpose. And I was like, I don't know. You know, it was just one of those things. And all my kids ended up finding out by the end of the entire session when they came back, they got to do it again. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, all of them got it. So I know to make it a little bit harder next time. But That was kind of the thing, because I wasn't – it would have been really cool if they went and got their letter at the end for their prize. But that was kind of the thing. But maybe it'll be something more simple like you, like the flag thing, just the satisfaction of being first.
Yeah, they were pumped about that. And I think maybe just because it was like – it wasn't even a real pulley system. It was just, you know, twine through a little ringlet eyelet things. They were so excited about it. And I will tell you their excitement. They pulled it so hard that I had to fix it in every single class because they just yanked right off. And so,
yeah,
pumped, but it's all right. It worked.
That's hilarious. Was there anything that failed in any of the classes with kind of how you set everything up, or was it all pretty smooth?
Probably something that you just touched on was like the timing of it. It's so hard because each class is different. Each group of kids is different. And I didn't like team them up in any sort of way other than like, hey, you have to go find six characters of different characters. And, you know, some of them I've told many times, like, hey, if y'all are like BFFs, maybe we shouldn't, like the playground's a great time to hang out, but maybe in class we distract each other. And so it wasn't like ability grouped or anything like that. And so there's one of the classes specifically that one of the groups finished so fast. And I was like, wow, that was really, really quick. And so it was just kind of like, okay, now what do you do? And as well as how do I keep the other kids engaged? Because it feels like it's over. And so when that group finished, I was like, okay, now you need to go get a Chromebook and open up a Google document and explain how you created your circuit. So that was a total on the fly, like, okay, what am I going to have these kids do now? And the other kids, like, because I didn't want them to just quit and not feel super motivated, I went ahead and lowered the flag in that class and let them just each raise it as they completed their circuit. And so that kept them going the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, timing is that it's really hard to, I mean, that's hard to nail down in any lesson. Because, you know, how many times have you ever had a lesson go way over or like way shorter than you thought? And you're like, oh, okay. And this one, you know, because, you know, when I'm teaching all pre-AP, right, I have a lot of GT kids. I have a lot of kids who are just super high functioning. They're not necessarily GT, but like, you know, they're super hardworking. And I also got really smart kids who are really lazy, you know? So it's like And I group them according to ability. You know, I kind of keep them in relatively similar groups. So I have all my GT kids together. And it's funny because a lot of them overanalyze it. So they'll sit there at one way longer than the other group who's just happy just to fly through everything and hope that they have it right. And that was my biggest issue. It worked really well. The first half of the day, no one had figured it out. But by the time they started coming back, they had lunch together. They started talking to each other. And my last period was they finished super fast. Everyone got the answers and stuff. And we had to kill some time at the end of that, which was fine. But they, you know, that's just something. One of my teachers at RMS, the way she's helped out with her breakout is she made every class have different answers ultimately, to where it'd be impossible to cheat with each other. But that's so hard to do. Like that, she did that with breakout and with math. So slightly different. You know, if we're doing, you know, with ELA, you know, it's all based on text. You know, that's a crap ton of text that I have to get in order.
Exactly.
I was wondering, like, how could you do something like that? Like in science, how hard would it be for you to have each class have a different or different answers for the?
Oh gosh, that feels, just thinking about it, really hard because it's not like you just write another math problem and it's the same skill, just different numbers. I hadn't even thought of that. That would be something to consider. But I am real big on, because the first time we did like any sort of experiment this year that was even remotely like fun, not that all experiments that we do aren't fun, but the one that was like they were super excited about, I did not really take into account. We have two recesses throughout the day and lunch and specials and stuff. And so by the time the last class got to me, or even the second class got to me, they already kind of knew what was up and what was happening. And so we have since then established very much that good scientists report their findings, but we are not going to report them on the playground. And so anytime we do something like that, whether it should be a simple experiment in class or something big like this, we have all just come to the understanding that we are not going to share that and ruin it for other kids. And the poor class that has to come last and wait all day long and walk by the you know, whatever might be hidden or seen that day. And so that's kind of an understanding we've come to with my students and myself, that we're just going to keep the fun to ourselves. And at the end of the day, we can all talk about it whenever everybody's gotten around to it. But yeah, trying to do different answer type things for science feels really complicated, just thinking about the top of my head.
I know, and that's, you know, I strongly considered it, but it was like getting down to the wire, and I was like, okay, because I had pushed the transformation back already, and for it to be relevant to the skills that we needed, like it had to be within a certain time frame, and I was like, all right, well, I got to execute on this, or it's just not going to happen, so I just kind of, you know, and I, you know, I went through that speech too. You know, it's like what happens in Chastain's class stays in Chastain's class, right? We don't tell people when y'all walked in and you had that fun experience. Let's let your friends have that same experience when they come in. But it was after they did good in the morning, but it was the afternoon after everyone had already seen it. And they knew that they probably just felt comfortable like, oh, what, you know, and then given talking about it, which is one thing, but you just hit on something that I didn't think about until it happened, but you know, you're in a hallway with other teachers. There's exciting stuff obviously happening in your room. Did you have other students that weren't yours, like trying to like see what was going on or, you know, like stuff like that? What was that like?
Yeah. It's funny because part of me, like there's a certain amount of guilt it creates, like when you've got other kids, but I've just come to the realization I'm not going to not do something for my kids. Because of what other people might be concerned about, unless like it's a real issue. But so yeah, kids would walk by and they're like, oh, what's going on? Whatever. And then you'd hear kids talking in the hallway. Like we have second grade down the hall from us. And like, I can't wait till I'm in fourth grade. And so like, that's great. Like nobody was trying to crawl through the tunnel that wasn't supposed to be. And we had shut the door and pulled the tunnel in at that point. But, and so that's been a lot of fun just to hear kind of other kids say things or like, oh, what are you doing today? Why are you dressed like that? Or, I was like, well, maybe you'll find out when you're in fourth grade, and not trying to give away too much, but also not to just shut them down completely, but to keep things close. But yeah, so it's definitely can be challenging. And I think like it was funny the day that I did the Mario thing, one of the fifth grade teachers was doing her T-test observation, which I did not know that. but giving me a hard time about it later. She's like, yeah, I walked down the hallway and see a tunnel coming out of your room. Like that's fun. And so, but, then later on that week, it was the best compliment. She had said that, she's decided she's going to try and do a room transformation, in December for, I don't know what it was for, but, so she's working on that. So that was huge. I think, cause I don't know that at the campus I'm at that this type of thing has been done before. And so I don't know how weird everybody thinks it is or, odd or crazy I am, which is just generally the, you know, it happens. But, and so it was really cool to hear another teacher say that, she had been inspired to try and tackle something like that for her kids.
Well, see, and that's, you know, that's really like the most important part about it is, you know, room transformations are awesome and they're cool. And, you know, you get to flex your creativity muscles and you show how awesome you are as a teacher. But the more important thing is that like it inspires students to want to be at school. Like, you know, Ron Clark, if you've ever watched him give his speeches, which, by the way, I love watching him talk. Watching him talk and then watching him speak and then watching him teach in his classroom, it was literally like getting baptized. Like, I think I've made that quote before, but, like, I got chills the first time I sat in his room and watched him teach. He didn't speak – I say this on the podcast, on the Ron Clark podcast, but he didn't speak for, like, 10 minutes. It was all – he was communicating through, like, various forms of sign language. You know, it was just like, oh my God, you know, and it's just like when you see someone be able to execute on such a high level, it inspires you, you know, if you're, well, hopefully it inspires you, right? I guess some people could take it and go negative with it, but you know, You know, it's like seeing someone at the best of their craft, whatever you do. You know, if you want to be a singer and you see, you know, the best singers out there, that's going to hopefully drive you to want to be better. And yeah, that's what happens. And that's, you know, when you do, when you go above and beyond on a cool lesson, you're going to inspire the people that need it or that, that want to keep going. And it's not saying that like, oh, you should do it to inspire people, but it's like, you can literally just help like other people like do awesome stuff, and then they can do something awesome, and then it'll inspire you like, oh, you're not going to one up me. And then it, you know, it just keeps this, yeah, the process going. So that's, I don't know. I get excited when I think about stuff like that, because there's so much negativity in education, mm-hmm, that it's cool to have people like just get inspired by stuff and go, oh, you know what? We can do cool stuff.
And yeah. And it all comes back to the kids. And so as long as whatever you're doing is going to keep the kids engaged and is what's in the best interest of the kids, like, I'm willing to do a little bit of crazy in order to, you know, make them excited and be want to be at school.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, I've had this conversation a lot, you know, with various educators, but I think it ultimately comes down to like, if we can get kids to just want to be in this space, then we can do the hard work of doing really rigorous stuff. But if they hate being there 100% of the time, you're never going to get to that deep point.
Yep.
You know, it's, you have to create the magic for them, or it's, yeah, just, it's just not going to happen. You know, one of the things I want to hit on for you is, you know, we've talked briefly about how you kind of get ideas from other places, and we've mentioned some people, but I want, because not everyone, like, I wasn't really aware of the RCA people until I kind of went to the academy. Like, I, you know, I knew who Ron Clark was vaguely, but I didn't know any of the other people there. Kim Bearden, you know, I kind of knew who she was, but it wasn't like in my system about what they were. So how did you discover some of these people?
Last year, Ron Clark was our convocation speaker.
Oh, and, awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And so then, and that was when I was in my previous district. And so then they kind of really decided, hey, we want to see what could this look like for us. And so they started out by sending every principal and then one teacher from every campus got to go. And then they sent another round of teachers. And so they sent one teacher from every grade level to go in the second round and just see what can we bring back. And so like they brought back the house system has kind of gone district wide. And then, yeah. And so, anyways, so having my, like my teacher BFF, she got to go in the first round. And so when she came back, like I just sat down, I was like, here's all my questions. Here's what I need you to answer for me. And I need you to teach me these things. And so she was telling me all about kind of what she got to see. And then basically I was like, okay, well, I can go stalk them on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And so I just started following all of them. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge kind of like, whoa, they post a lot, which is great because I'm able to then gain a lot. And so that was a big, big way that I was kind of introduced to more than just Ron Clark and who he was and his story, but also the staff at RCA and all the crazy cool things that they do there.
Wait, did you have, this is your old district, right? Not a
Yeah.
So when you were there, did you have anyone, you know, as you guys were kind of transitioning into the RCA format, were there a bunch of like people who were saying it won't work? Like, did they come back?
I mean, from everyone that I talked to who got to go, I mean, they came back and they were like pumped on life. I mean, they were ready to just blow up the system and go full on. Let's make our own RCA Academy. But that's hard when you have a very small group of teachers who get to go experience that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they can come back and share and model and do as much as you can, because I feel like I gained so much just from talking to them and like seeing what they were doing in their classrooms. I was like, what could I do if I got to go? Like, how different would it be if I got to experience it firsthand? And so I don't think that anybody was like, no, this can't work. But I think there's also kind of some mindset of we have to be realistic about what we're working with as far as what we can take from them and use and be realistic about this working versus let's just try and take it all and make it work. Because I don't think anybody was under the illusion that that was going to be what happened. But to be able to find things like the house system, the chants and cheers and different things like that, and just the way that kids communicate with one another and with adults, I think has been the biggest takeaway that from what I've seen has made a big improvement. And so I don't think there was any day that was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, we can't do this. But there's a lot of, it's kind of hard to imagine based on just getting to hear other people's experiences.
Yeah, no, it totally does, because we, you know, ever since I came back from RCA, everything I've done has been, you know, almost like in light of them, because it was, you know, they inspired nearly every aspect of what I want to do. Because as far as I'm concerned, they're the leaders of where education needs to go. And there's tons of people who disagree with me, but like, that's like, I'll put my stamp on it and I'll fight for it until I see something better, because it's just, you know, and all the things they do is, there's all scientific backing for it. They don't come at you and talk like that. But I mean, everything is research based on what they do, why callbacks work, why certain type of engagement, why your kids need to be moving around. Yeah, they're doing cool dances, but there's a reason why you get your kids up, right? But one of the things that I've run into talking about RCA so much is people just like, oh, well, you know, Ron Clark, you know, they get to pick their kids and, you know, it's a certain group. Yeah. And I guess it's the same negative thing that happens anytime you're in a group and you bring like a cool thing and like, well, we can't do that because this, this, and this.
We all have reasons why not.
Yeah. And that's like, how do you ever face that? Like, obviously you face people like that, but do you ever face like a weird doubt that comes up every once in a while where you're like, can I do this cool stuff? And like, you kind of doubt your ability.
And it's weird being in a new district, in a new school. 'Cause I feel like where I was, like, people knew my level of crazy and they weren't surprised if I showed up in a costume or if my room was weird, you know, like that was never, you know, anything super shocking. And so, the first one I did this year was we were doing sync and float. And so I'd done like a pirate theme. And so I texted my principal, I was like, hey, can I dress up like a pirate? Like, are you okay with that? I don't really know what the rules are around here. And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay. And so then like the night before, I was so nervous because I'm thinking, what are these teachers going to think when I walk down the hallway dressed like full on pirate? And I just had like kind of this panic moment. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, cause they just, you know, and part of it, like, I don't know, my own insecurities, but it's just like, I just don't know what they're used to. I have not seen anybody dress up in a costume. Not that they won't, I don't know, but there was just a lot of like, oh gosh, what am I getting myself into? They're going to think I'm completely nuts. And there definitely can be some of that. And I've seen that more like just in myself this year being somewhere new. I didn't so much feel that way in a place where I had a more established experience and reputation, maybe good or bad. But, you know, and so that's been kind of a challenge this year, just letting go of what anybody else might think, because regardless of what they might think, it's about what's for my kids. So that's what I always have to come back to.
Yeah. And it's really hard to let go. I think that's why a lot of people don't do stuff, is because you can list a million reasons, you know, it might fail. What are the teachers going to think? You know, what if I do this and it's just like the spectacular failure, you know, the kids might not learn anything. I mean, there's a million reasons not to do something. But it's also like, why not? I mean, you know, we have a job to do, and it's, you know, it's like we don't have the time to not try crazy stuff.
Exactly.
And that's pretty cool though. So is your current administration, like, you, they seem like they're on board for you doing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, they have been super supportive. I think they're kind of at the point like where they're not surprised so much anymore by like when I say, hey, can I do this? They're like, yeah, just, and they'll come by to see what's going on. And so that's been really fun to see. And, it's funny because like when I did the Mario one, my, principal called our science curriculum specialist, and she came over and wanted a video. And I think that's how Stacey Hammer saw it all, was through her. But it's funny because I'm just like they come in, like this is this really big, which, and I get that it's big. It's not like it's an everyday in the classroom, but like the front office staff would come in and just see what's going on kind of thing. And so I think now that they've seen a couple of those kind of components and things, Like, it's not so like, whoa, what is she doing? It's more like, what is she going to do next?
Yeah.
Anticipation more than nerves about what might be happening in my room.
Does that put pressure on you? Because I had, after I did the cave and then everyone came in there and then we did a door competition like 2 weeks later or whatever for Red Ribbon Week. And, I didn't like do my door really. Like I did like a minimalist thing. People were whispering. They were like, oh, you know, we got to do a Chastain idea. And I'm like, oh, so it's a verb. So I have to outdo my cave next time. Awesome.
Not from anybody, probably other than myself and maybe my students, because we had talked at the beginning of the year, kind of like, you know, what did we want our class to be like? And this was after we kind of gone backwards a little bit, but talked about that. And they had loved the pirate thing so much. They're like, we want more classroom transformations. And I was like, I'm willing to work hard and do that as long as you guys are as well. And so if you're working hard, I will work hard all day long. And so I had set a goal to do one every 6 weeks for the year. And that, like, the Mario one will probably be the most involved one. I just have this feeling that that might be the case. But it's kind of looking forward to the calendar, on the calendar. Like, right around star time feels like probably not. Maybe five for the year will kind of end where I am, or all in there. We'll see if I can do all six. But, yeah, there's a certain amount of pressure to be like, okay, what can I reuse for one? Because that makes sense. And what other crazy ideas can I do? Because that one felt so big compared to the previous two I had done. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be like a total letdown, but they don't all have to be completely crazy and over the top. And right. So that's important for me to know, as well as my students to understand and appreciate. Because if they are not appreciating the work and that goes into it, there might not be as much.
What would be your like key advice for someone who is looking into transformations? Maybe they've never done one. They just kind of heard about it. They've seen pictures or whatever, and they're finally getting to the point where they're brave enough to create something. What are like the key advice that you wish that you kind of learned along the way that you could give to somebody trying to do this for the first time?
I personally, like, for me, what is easiest is to find a theme that you think you can work with, or an idea, and then go from there. Find something realistic as far as what I need it to look like, what would I need to buy, what would I need to make, to figure out kind of from there first, one that gives you a time frame of how much time do I need to get all this together, but also what's realistic. And so I think it's important to start there, because I think you can almost match any content to any type of idea that you have, unless you're trying to do something specific. Like, if I was going to teach habitats and I wanted it to be like a habitat of a certain ecosystem. But other than that, I feel like it could be, you can match any content to any idea. And so I would definitely say, find a theme first, figure out how you're going to get it all, what your idea is, what your dream might be, and realize that maybe you can't do it all, and that's okay. So to figure out what is doable, what is possible, and to figure out what you need to make. And then from there, figure out, okay, what am I actually going to teach? Because, you know, that's what we're here for. But I feel like you're able to just kind of figure out different ways to make different things fit. So, and really the content piece of the Mario thing happened the night before. And so that's how, like, do that at the end. And not because it was last minute thrown together, just because that was so, like, I can make that work and felt confident in what I know about that, and versus not so experienced in the other parts of the transformation, getting the decorative components together. So.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, it is like the decoration is almost, that's almost the easy part. Like, once you kind of figure out what you want to do, it's mm-hmm. like, I mean, it still comes down to like the lesson, like what is it that you're, what's your goal? Cause that could make or break the transformation.
Yeah. So once you figure out what you want to do, figure out, okay, well, what do I want to teach? What do I want the kids to get out of this? Cause I mean, it is fun just to have, you know, random different, like there was really no need to have Mario World, to learn about circuits, but it was a whole lot more fun and they were a lot more engaged. And so it was just something different, because it does become very monotonous for kids. I feel like, to just, all right, shuffle in, shuffle out, shuffle in, shuffle out. And so to just break up some of that and do something that is unique and exciting, even if it's just for one day, make a huge impact, because I had one kid who was absent and I felt so bad about it. He was the only kid absent in the entire grade that day. And he was going to be leaving early on Friday before Thanksgiving. And he was like, wait, so what are we doing? Because I don't want to miss anything. And so like, there's already like, you know, some, okay, they don't want to be absent because they don't, you know, they just don't know. And so it just creates a level of excitement that hopefully will keep them in school.
You know, we have a charter school that just opened, you know, down the road or whatever. And we've lost some student, of our population to that school. And, the you know, public schools are dealing with this problem right now because they're popping up everywhere, at least in Texas. And, you know, as we know, you know, students in the class means money for the school. That's just how schools make money, blah, blah, blah. Boring. Anyway, so the point is, though, like, how, like, if we had all these kids being absent in these truancy things, like, if, like, the majority of our teachers, like, once a 6 weeks, were doing a crazy cool lesson that engage students to this massive extreme, you know, how much of those problems would just slowly go away?
Exactly, because they're going to want to be there. And that's what, for the Halloween one that I had done, I had given them the day before, like, a ticket that was just like, you know, something creepy crawly is happening tomorrow. And every single person, except for one person, showed up at school that day. And not that they weren't going to be there anyways, but I mean, it's Halloween, so I feel like that's kind of impressive to get all your kids there. Because they were like, what's going on? We don't know what's going on, but we know it's going to be something fun. And so I did not do that this past time just because I wanted it to be a complete surprise. But I think to have that level of engagement, kids will want to be at school for sure.
What a solid point to end on. Ashley, you've been amazing.
Thank you.
You were great. I'm so glad you came on the podcast with me. I've been wanting to do a transformation podcast for a while. And, you know, it's a fantastic topic. I think if more teachers can be inspired to step outside the box, you know, once in a while, then they'll, you know, we could really do something with our educational system.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you just start small, you got to start somewhere.
For everyone else listening, this has been Teach Me Teacher. You can find everything we do at teachmeteacherpodcast.com or on iTunes as usual. Once again, our reviews are slowly trickling into iTunes. We need you guys to go out there and review the podcast, because every review gets us up a little higher when we release stuff. So make sure you're on that. Join us on Facebook, where the community is growing. We are on Twitter as well. Thank you guys for listening. It's been fantastic. I hope you are having a wonderful Thanksgiving break, because that should be when this is airing. For everything else, Teach Me Teacher. Have a good one.